Hey, 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 welcome to Buzz, Candid, and Critical. This is Beto.
I'm Chris.
It's your boy, Brian.
And this, I was about to say this is Brian, but this is actually Milo.
Welcome to the new episode of Buzz, Candid, and Critical. Today, we'll be talking about Past Lives, a movie released in 2023, directed by Celine Song. This is her debut film, and I feel like it's done amazing in the award shows. What are we drinking today, Milo?
Today, I brought us High Noon Vodka Seltzers.
Sponsor us.
So I'm drinking a grapefruit flavor, which is, I already shotgunned one before this, and it's really good.
I shotgunned one, too, before this.
I got the watermelon. Trying it out.
I have black cherry.
Yeah, it's a nice vodka seltzer. I feel like, you know, we've done seltzers before, and this is another one of them.
It's sweet.
Yeah, it tastes good. Real good.
But it has no sugar.
Oh, it has no added sugar, so there's probably sugar in there. Man.
Holy shit, this is good.
It has 3 grams of sugar, actually.
What's the percentage on this bitch?
4.5.
Ooh.
I'm gonna need like a 12-pack before I start feeling anything. No.
It's not good. Well, I mean, we tried that the last time Yeah, we fucked it up, but literally it fucked us up.
God, that was a wild night.
Wild.
So, Beto, you made the decision of picking a movie you hadn't even seen yet. What was your thought process?
I mean, he did the same thing where Talk to Me, so I mean, you know.
He had already seen it.
I had already seen Talk to Me.
Yeah, he did. He did. Point
being, it was still in theater, so you know.
So, this is a movie that I've been meaning to watch for a long time. And it's a movie that I've seen a lot of buzz about. And I think it was a perfect excuse to have forced myself to watch it. And I did not regret making that decision because I feel like this movie is really good. And it's really on theme with the movie that we watched before, which is Blue Valentine.
Yes, technically speaking, we are still within the realms of Valentine's month because by the time you release this, it'll still be February, so I guess you could consider it a Valentine's movie. Yeah. Although we don't mean to only talk about fucked up movies, but although Chris is very adamant that this and Blue Valentine's can be comparable, which
they can agree is not. I can mathematically prove it right now with math and facts.
How about you mathematically prove the distance from my balls to your mouth?
That's double. I can do that too.
Usually we give a breakdown, but I mean, the best way to break this movie down into a single plot,
movie's about the cucks.
Oh my God.
If you're a cuck, this movie's about you.
So basically, it's these two childhood friends who they kind of rekindle online, but then they get on with their lives and then they end up meeting again and just kind of going over what could have been. And you can kind of see the differences when they meet and just kind of what happens in life.
You like being a cuck? You like simping? You like bearing the fact that you could probably get back with a chick after even it's been 25 years.
Shut up, Brian. Shut up.
Then this movie's for you.
But so we'll start with you, Beto. What was your overall experience watching the movie?
Yeah, so I watched it for the first time last night, and it was a movie that I feel like I was very into from the very beginning. I feel like the intro scene really drew me into this movie. And I just couldn't keep my eyes off of this. I did not want to stop watching. I think it was really fun watch. And even though it's not the most like action-packed or like very
over-dramatic.
Yeah, like it is very
grounded.
Grounded, yes, exactly. It doesn't feel like it over-romantizes things much. It still really draws you in because you really want these childhood sweethearts to work. But because of outside circumstances, they really never want to or never really happen. It really leaves you wanting them to work.
According to Celine Song, this actually, not this whole thing, but the scene where it starts off and they're all at the bar, that actually happened to her, apparently.
Really?
Well, yeah, wasn't this whole movie based off an experience that she felt?
Like, no, she went through that experience where like she kind of met up with her childhood sweetheart and her husband was there. at the bar.
Very awkward scene.
Yeah, but
way.
Wasn't that whole movie about that whole scenario?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. You know, she kind of built off of it, obviously.
I mean, yeah, not everything.
Like, what is she trying to say about her childhood sweetheart, though? That's what she's making a movie about it. So yeah,
What about you, Chris? What were your first impressions of this movie?
I know he's getting ready, guys. He's getting
winding up, boys, like a DK punch. the movie was. so I want to preface this before we continue. I don't think the movie's bad. I think it is pretty sad. It was a good movie. It was a good watch. It was a little bit confusing for me trying to understand like what it was about. You know, I had to go to my reliable sources, YouTube. I mean, I could see where it's like, I don't know. I don't have a lot to say about this movie.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, you know, good watch. It's not for me.
You had to be there experience in order to understand this movie. So in other words, go back like 25 years and, you know, that one kid that lived down the street. You know, I guess just have some feelings for him, but then don't have feelings for him, and then move on with your life.
What about you, Brian? What were your thoughts initially?
Honestly, the same like Chris. I mean, I understood it from the beginning, like because what was her name again? The girl?
Nora.
Nora.
Or what's her English name? Michelle?
Her
English name is Nora.
Nora. But her Korean name was Na Young.
Yes.
Na Young. Like, I like the fact that she moved on. You know, she decided to, you know, like, okay, cool. Like, she pretty much left the entirety of, like, who she was in the past and where she lived and all that, ventured onto the future, so and so on and so forth. And I feel for also, you know, her childhood friend, because it's like sometimes it sucks. You know, you really thought like, oh, like I really like this. Like, you know, and it shows like at a really young age, love has a very strong feel when it comes to like, fuck, like I should have said something or I should have made the move on, you know, who I loved. And I understand that like that was just like the thing that I just didn't like was like. This is kind of awkward. You know, like, this dude really, really hold that grudge.
Yeah.
Like, what? I think they're, like, in their 30s already.
Yeah.
30s or, like, 40s.
I think we're supposed to assume maybe they're, like, 30, in the early 30s.
Mid-30s.
The fact that he knew that she was still married.
And he still went all the way to New York.
I'm like, bro. Look, man, the battle's done. You lost the war. And I like the fact that, you know, her husband, you know,
Arthur,
he took that into like, you know, like, hey, you know, like if and I love dude, Arthur was like.
He's the wayman.
He's a fucking wayman, bro. Like he understands like because, bro, like if you kind of think about it, like it's like this, like I would. Kind of would ask my mom, like she'll bring me up stories, like, oh, like, so, like, did you date anybody, like, beforehand? Like, how many, that, like, you know, it's, like, one of those weird questions, like, oh, like, how much did my dad date? You know, he had, like, 15 chicks. I was like, that's right, you know what I mean, dude? My dad's a beast, you know, he's fucking, you know, yeah, and shit. But, like, at the same time, you know, like, who was, like, your childhood sweetheart, you know? Yeah, like, yeah. who was that one person that you really wished to, like, quote unquote, be with or shit, because love is weird. You're gonna end up with someone that you obviously, maybe yeah, you do get with the person that you want, or you do get that. Oh, we've been together since we were small, and this and that. That like fucking weird like story, I guess, that your mom fucking like tells you or your dad tells you.
I know a few people that have been together since like middle school.
Yeah, you know that they think like love, like they think like, oh, we're gonna have that. That little story of like, yeah, we loved each other since when our eyes first met. And this, like, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck do you mean? And, you know, this is the reality of it. You know, fucking stop being a simp. Don't go fucking flying all the way over fucking who many fucking knows miles. If you know that she's fucking married,
yeah.
Cut your ties, buddy. It's over. But the fact that Arthur was just like, you know, they're really close friends, and I think,
yeah, you
know, whether if they failed to do whatever that they wanted to do, I guess, be together, You know, Nora was more than understanding to just say, like, hey, hi, you know, I miss you, but I gotta go.
Yeah.
But I did enjoy the movie.
Yeah. What about you, Milo? What do you think about the movie?
I thought it was really good. Like, I think I mentioned before, I didn't know what this was going to be about. So when I saw Past Lives, and I had already seen that scene when they're at the bar. So I was like,
I like that scene from the bar, by the way.
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good way to start it and end it.
I felt weird when, like, the camera pans over to her.
And she's looking at you?
And yeah, and smiles like, is she a demon? What's going on? Like, and I'm thinking past life, and then, like, when I'm seeing the movie, like, they're
like,
kids.
Is she alive?
No, like, so, like, they're kids, and then I'm assuming, like, because obviously, like, I don't know what it was
she
about.
Has super hearing.
I don't know. I thought it was going to be, like, something about, like, they
I think
died,
it said, like, 24 and, years you know, earlier like, or something.
Yeah, but I always thought, like, they died and probably, like, met somewhere a past life, and it's just, like, they die, they get reborn,
yeah.
And then, you know, it's, like, kind of like, oh, we loved each other in a past life. Mm-hmm. But then, I mean, I guess the metaphor of past life is like her former self where she used to be at.
Yeah.
So she used to live in Korea. And then, you know, obviously she moved on to America and that's left behind. So it's like a past life that she lived that she's no longer like even have some form of connection. I'm not going to say that because she's obviously talking Korean in the movie.
Yeah.
Even as an adult. But I mean, the title makes sense, you know, but the missed opportunity with the song, you know, big flaw, 0 out of 10.
But yeah, I enjoyed
0 out of 10.
I enjoyed it a lot. I took it not necessarily. Obviously, there is some romance involved, but I think it has to do a lot more with like being in love with like nostalgia of like your childhood. And it's like that excitement of when you're younger, you know.
I have read up that the movie was like he went over there and he wanted to say goodbye like for good, like it was like you know he, like you said, he realized like he can't win this war, this battle. And then the reason why she started crying is because she didn't know she had to say goodbye, and she didn't know that was gonna be it.
But I don't think the way I took the ending where he was like, do you think in like, what if this is our past lives and in another life we've already started something? And then I think he doesn't really say bye. He just says, see you then, like kind of having hope that and maybe in another life they will make it.
That was a goodbye.
I don't think it was a goodbye. All right, personally.
Go on Google and look it up, bucko.
Well, now that we're getting into what are some things that you guys thought that this movie did well and what are some things that you thought this movie didn't do as well? We can get started with you, Chris.
Just keeping you on your toes. Like, is she gonna like cheat on Arthur? Yeah. Is she gonna get with him? Or like, you know, how's Arthur gonna react? You know, and then because it's like kind of like fuck. Like, what's the next thing gonna happen? But then like, obviously, Arthur was just like being a very like good supporting partner.
Yeah.
And you know, like even like in the best scene, I don't remember word by word because I literally saw it 3 weeks ago.
Where he's telling her, isn't this crazy? Like your story. Like, you could have been with, like, your childhood sweetheart, but instead you're with me, living in a small apartment.
Yeah, and then he realized that, but he doesn't pull a fucking, what's his name from Blue Valentine's?
What are you doing to me?
What's his name again? It was
Dean.
Dean, yeah. But, like, instead of being, like, acting like the victim, he acknowledged, like, damn, that's crazy, you know?
He's like,
yeah.
I love what I do, all right? I love being a father.
Like, he doesn't treat himself like a victim. I think it's a... No, it's just a good movie, good watch. I don't really have a lot to say.
Beto was saying, which is not an original, or he might have seen the video before, I think somewhere, but like, they don't really like make Arthur seem like a victim.
Yeah. I think he's very self-aware of his position. And you can very much see how in any other movie they would make, and he even acknowledges this, Arthur acknowledges is that if this were a story, he would be the villain. He would be like, someone that
she leaves him for Taesung.
Yeah, and the audience would usually hate him, but I think the decision to make him probably the most likable character in this whole movie makes you be really conflicted with yourself, because you do want Hay and Nora to work. You want them to be together so bad, but then you also have this other side where Arthur is probably the nicest.
I didn't feel that way.
Really?
I didn't.
Really?
Like at the beginning of the movie, she literally said that like I wanted to move on. Like she got tired of like
mm-hmm.
like, I wouldn't say she didn't get tired of being like where she was at.
Yeah.
She was okay and accustomed to moving on.
Well, yeah, she wanted to be something. That's what she told us.
Yeah, she wanted to be something, you know,
yeah.
Nobel Prize or whatever the fuck, you know? But that mindset is already like setting up to her future. She's ready to continue on with whatever she wants to be.
Yeah.
And it sucks because there is some people that hold this like, oh, you know, like, maybe I could be with, like, the person that I was, like, you know, talking to a long time ago.
Or yeah.
They're stuck into the past life. That considers the end of the show.
Well, and then to build up on that a little bit, I think one of the things that this movie does really well is having a really good setup and a really good payoff all throughout the movie. I think in the beginning of the movie, when the mom is talking to Hayes' mom, she mentioned something about the reason why she wants to immigrate is because even though you leave a lot of things behind, you get something new out of that. And that's a great setup for the rest of this movie because we consistently see Nora leaving Hay behind, but she ends up gaining a lot of things out of it. A new career, you know, a new life, and yeah, a husband too. But all of that comes to the price of Hay. And I think the movie does such a good job at setting this dynamic up.
Do you guys think, and obviously, like, when they rekindle, they're talking on Skype all the time. Are we supposed to assume that they were going to either get together or that they were going to wait for each other? Like, if they would have met, like when they said they were going to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you think, like were we supposed to think that they would have waited for each other because they met after so long again?
I mean, I think during their Skype call, what, like, she wasn't married yet in the beginning, huh?
No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, if the thing is, too, like, fuck, it's like, it sucks because I know, like, it's easy to say, like, oh, like, if you really, really liked her, then you would have, like,
yeah,
you know, made your move, you know? And I think he kind of took too long.
Yeah,
you know,
I think also it's two things, really. I think one of them is that I think both of them really do want to work, but because of outside
forces,
they're never really able to work it out. And I think it's very interesting because when they first Skype together, we see that Nora is actually wearing a ring on her wedding ring. I don't know if
Celine's, I saw that. Yeah,
I don't know if Celine Song did this on purpose. But I think it's very telling.
Foreshadowing
or is telling that Nora is already married to something else, to her career, to her life in Canada, or to her life in New York, where even though they did want to work things out, maybe Nora was already taken by not necessarily another person, but her professional life.
Yeah.
And I think something, too, that kind of keeps going back to this whole past life things. It's like every time, like when they start Skyping, he asks her, like, oh, so what award do you want now?
Yeah.
And then when they meet again in person, he's like, oh, so what award do you want now? Mm-hmm. So it's like, poor Hae Sung, you know, he's like really stuck in the past.
Yeah.
Like he didn't make his move. And it's not, he didn't necessarily go, I think, to try to win her over. I knew that he probably didn't think that he would, but I think he just wanted to put it all out on the table that, like, you know what, like, you left and I still wanted at least to be near you or around you or know you, you know, because 12 years to not talk to someone and then talk to, like, catch up, that's, like, very unheard of.
Yeah.
Especially, go ahead. Or, like, to even be that friendly again, like, I probably wouldn't be that friendly with someone I knew like 12 years ago and haven't talked to.
And to bring back your question a little bit about whether if they have met up at that time, would they probably been together? I think the movie, leads us to believe if maybe they weren't so occupied with their professional life, they probably could have made something work. But I feel like this movie shows us more than once that because Hay wants to be an engineer and Nora is occupied with her life in New York, they couldn't, you know? And, you know, maybe in their next life they will, maybe they won't, but, you know, this movie has a lot of themes of fate, of what they call it, Inyun?
Inyun, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, like, any chance encountered, like, like, you don't know if that's like the first or like 1,000, 8,000th time that you've encountered them at some point or another in your life.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I will say
parallel universes.
The multiverse.
Now things are getting interesting.
Ever heard of a movie called Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Oh.
I will say one of the things I necessarily didn't like about this movie is that when I was watching more and more things about it, like the TikTok reviews or whatnot, I've heard that I was going to bawl my eyes out when I watched this movie. That I was going to cry.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I kept hearing that I was going to cry the whole time. And I don't think this movie is necessarily a movie that you
would cry
about.
Those motherfuckers are just people that just didn't understand the movie. And they just heard, they just probably heard one sad song and just like, oh my God, like, why didn't they work out? Why didn't they just like, bro, what? Like,
yeah. So I will say this movie didn't necessarily meet my expectations because I expected this movie to be like.
Oh, you expected to cry?
Yeah, I did, 100%.
Fucking pussy. I'm just
kidding. because I hadn't really like seen anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard about it, like you said, on the award campaign, and I think what's her name, Greta Lee, or yeah. What's the
director?
Nora.
Oh, Nora. No,
her.
Sure.
I think she got like nominated or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I didn't really go into it expecting for it to be sad. I mean, the only part that I really felt sad was at the end where, like, she starts crying once he leaves.
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know, it's all right. I'm here. And I thought that was really sad because it's, like, the fact that, like, she's gone through all this. She has her life. She gets married. She rekindles with her childhood sweetheart. And, like, they're talking and they're being friends. And at no point does she seem really sad about it. But it's, like, as soon as she kind of, like, it parallels, like, the when he leaves the first time or when she leaves the first time, you know, and they're parting ways again. And she's just like, shit, you know, it's like, we're not kids anymore. This is probably one of the last times we're going to see each other.
Yeah.
Like if they really do say goodbye, like forever.
Thank you for proving my point.
I said if.
You realized that when you looked at me, huh? He looked at me. He was like, wait. Oh shit. Chris might be right.
And I do think this is another part in which the movie did a really good job at setting up and paying off. One of the first conversations we hear both Nora and Hay have is how Nora always cries when Hay puts himself first, even though Nora is always first. And here at the end, we see Hay putting himself first by saying his final goodbye to Nora.
Okay.
And she ends
That's
up,
correct.
Yeah, and she ends up bawling, you know? Which is, I don't know, this movie does a really good job at just always paying off whatever it set up.
I think something that I really enjoyed about this, it's if you take away the fact that it's a movie, if you take away like the score, the soundtrack, everything, at the end of it, it's just
it could be
it's just conversations between people at the end of the day. Like these are the conversations that not necessarily like simp, but you know, like if you were to go back and talk to someone that you hadn't talked to so long, like it idealizes that, like, oh, you know, you guys are going to hang out, you guys are going to talk and you're going to just talk about the past. And then I think something I like too, and then we keep bringing up Arthur, is that they do have that vulnerable conversation, that uncomfortable conversation.
Yeah.
Like when they're preparing for bed and then he asks her like, is he attractive? And he's like, yeah, he's kind of masculine. He's like, are you attracted to him? And then she's like, I don't know. But like this whole time you can tell that he's uncomfortable asking. And then I made a note about it. It's like, you know, she just started hanging out with her fucking true love or whatever, as far as we know at this point. And she's talking about it like the whole night.
Yeah.
Like she can't stop talking about it. And he's just there kind of like, he's pouring himself water and he's still like,
like, fuck.
It is very uncomfortable. Yeah.
I'm getting cheated on. It's over.
And then when they're in the date and they're talking to each other in Korean, like they just stop talking to like Arthur completely.
Yeah.
And like he's not even in the scene. Like they frame him out.
Yeah, I think that's such a smart way to frame that scene too.
And like they keep like panning back to him. He's just kind of like looking off like, fuck, what am I doing here, bro?
And I think it's like even then when they do all this work to frame him out, to fucking leave him out of the conversation, to make him very much feel like an outsider. Even when Hay talks to Arthur about how he's sorry for leaving him out of the conversation, even Arthur is like such a good sport about it. He's like, oh, it's okay. You know, you guys haven't like talked in 12 years. I understand. And I'm glad you came. Like, Arthur is such a fucking champ for that, dude. Because Lord knows I couldn't have done that.
Yeah, that one's pretty tough because, you know, you're in this spot like, fuck, like, you know, does my wife like me? You know, think about me. Is she really going to, like, make this move? Should I be worried? Yeah. Should I be like, fuck, like, what am I going to do? Like, look at this guy. Fucking handsome as fuck. You know, I'm just this fucking guy playing PS fucking 5 over here.
That's right.
You know, and again, like, love has different spectrums, you know? Yeah. Like, it's just like, you know, maybe Nora's okay with, like, living with someone like that. She's comfortable. She wants that comfort or, you know, whatever the fact that is.
Yeah. I think they kind of made a Celine song might have tried to make an attempt for us to not like him, like when she got back from the date or the hangout, whatever. Like, he's just playing PS5 and like he doesn't really acknowledge her until she like comes up to him and he's like drinking beer playing PS5. And then like I thought that was kind of like,
no, fuck like, that. What do you mean? That's like the perfect, oh, hey, babe. Oh, yeah, no, just fucking hell divers right now.
I took that as like he had no worry, it was just trust. Like, I mean, you could look at it at one point where, like, because, like, I mean,
yes,
like,
yes,
you could just jump up here, like, so what happened? This and that, blah, blah, blah. Or he was like, oh, hey, babe. And boys, they, boys on the left. Actually, calling the 500 kilo bomb right now.
And he had actually, you could tell that they had talked about it because she said, you were right. He did come to see me.
Yeah.
And at that point, that's when his kind of demeanor kind of goes, like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, but you like, I mean, like,
I know, like,
you can't blame, like, if, like, whether you're a girl or guy, you can't blame them because, like, obviously, there's gonna be speculation behind your head, you know. It just depends how you handle it, how you go about it, you know. And obviously, Arthur went you know, he got the high ground, you know, like Obi-Wan,
King Arthur,
like, it could be like, dude, like that, like, obviously, him sitting down playing PS5, it could go many ways, dude, like. A lot of the things is like when I've seen relationships.
See,
like,
ladies, not all guys are dogs. Yeah, not all guys are a dean. They are sometimes, understanding.
Sometimes we just want to play a few rounds with the boys. That's it. You know,
like my girl's out here trying to talk to her past lover. I'm just trying to get some dubs in.
Yeah, I'm just trying.
And I'm the bad guy.
And I'm the bad guy, bro. I'm big chilling right now.
Yeah.
And it, like I said, like it could go two ways. Maybe this dude could have just been drinking all night. Fucking letting his thoughts get to him.
Yeah.
Oh, why'd you show up late? Same thing could go for a chick too. Like, if we're out with the boys, you know, we can like there's a lot of thought that can just go into someone's head.
Yeah.
And you know that scene alone just makes it really great because it's like, okay, cool. Yeah. I'm coming back to my hubby. You know, he's there. He's chilling. He's sunning down. He's in his.
He's in the zone,
they're,
bro.
They're what we call their home. That's the perfect home.
Yeah.
They're coming back from whatever that you're doing, then you're coming back to your comfort.
Yeah. And then, look, when I was watching that scene, I was like, dude, this guy has every right to overthink that Nora is cheating on him.
Oh, bro, 100%.
100%. And the whole time.
I'd be at the bar.
And the whole time in my head, I'm like, dude, I want to fucking hate this guy. I want this guy to be a piece of shit.
Arthur?
Yeah. I'm like, dude, I want this guy to be a piece of shit so bad because I want Hey Nora to end up getting married and leaving his punk ass. But he's like such a sweetheart throughout the whole movie where I'm like, damn, dude. Like, actually, he is like perfect for Nora.
Fucking punching the air or what?
Yeah. And I think the decision to make Arthur such a likable character makes the movie even more tense. Because in my heart, I don't know who I want Nora for. And that's one of the things that this movie does really
I want
great.
Nora to be with me.
Like,
none of them.
It doesn't matter who I want for Nora. Nora is the one that's going to make that decision. Nora has her own autonomy. And I think that's one of the things that this movie does really well.
I think, too, and I want to bring it up, too, like, you don't know who, or you might have mentioned something about you don't know who you want Nora to be with, but if you think about it, she probably picked the best person possible because he's an artist, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Hae Sung is, he's a practical person. He's into engineering, so he's more like science and like you know shit. Like it's the way people think and like they're analytical like that, completely different. And then even if you look at like the kind of lives that they ended up leading, so her Nora's family immigrated, and Hae-sung stayed back.
Yeah,
you know, and like if you look at it in like a not necessarily a psychological perspective, but Hae-sung is like Korean. A lot of Asian cultures are collectivist cultures. So everything is about the family. It's like your family tells you what job you're going to do. You do it. You take care of your family. You take care of your parents until they're old enough. And then you just take care of them, you know. And that's the kind of lifestyle that Hae-sung took over. And Nora, like she is what the Western culture is. It's individualistic. So it's like you worry about yourself first. You put yourself first. Like, I want this. I'm going to do this, you know.
Yeah.
So I think that's another thing, too, where it's like Hae-sung can't really wrap his head around the fact like, oh, you're Korean, but it's like you went on to go pursue what you want to do, you know, where Hae-sung, and there's nothing wrong with still living at home, but like he's still living at home and he's like he's going to school to be an engineer, and you know.
And I think this brings up a really interesting dynamic between Nora, right? Because we constantly see Hae mention that Nora is still the same girl that he knew back when he was in she was in Korea, right? But through Nora's lifestyle, we consistently see that she's actually not, right?
Right.
And we see this conflict in Nora where he's saying that, oh, hey, so Korean.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up she says, like, I think talking to her husband, and she was like, yeah, he's very Korean.
Yeah. So, and I think this is where, like, the whole Inyun, fate, past lives theme comes in. Her past Korean life is where she would have been with Hae, but we learned through the setup of this team is that that's something that she left behind, and that's something that Hae needs to understand, and I think doesn't really understand until they're having that conversation at the bar. He says something along the lines of you know, I fell in love with you because of who you are, and who you are is someone that leaves. Yeah, and I think that's the moment that he realizes, oh yeah, like she is not for me.
And then even I don't remember if it was at the bar or like when he's going in the Uber, but she says something like, oh, you know, like you knew me as a girl in Korea, and I'm not that girl in Korea anymore. But that doesn't mean that she doesn't still like exist, you know. Yeah. But that's just not me anymore.
Yeah.
Damn. She literally said, "Fuck off."
Another thing I think this movie does really great is I think you already mentioned a little bit about it, Milo, is the framing in this movie. It's like amazing. So we do see a little bit at the bar when they slowly start cutting Arthur from the frame as conversation becomes
poor boy. look
at how they massacred my boy.
we're gonna pan the camera
little by little. He just comes out of the frame. They start leaving him more and more as the conversation leaves him more and more out because of the language barrier.
Shit, they're like, oh my god. they're like, oh shit, Arthur, my bad. You're there, right there.
And another ways they do this really well, and this also comes with a setup and payoff, is when they're on their little date when they were younger at the museum or whatever, they're playing around a sculpture that was facing each other, right? And that's when they were still very much in love and very much together. And later up, when they meet 12 years or 24 years later in New York, the sculpture behind them is of two people turned away from each other, showing how they can no longer work because they both left the past lives.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
There was a statue?
Well, it was like a sculpture.
I didn't see the sculpture, but
I mean, now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
There's a lot of cool things, too, where not necessarily like the framing has a payoff, but like when they're walking through the park in New York and you don't really see them, but it kind of pans closer as they're walking, and you could just hear their voices.
Yeah.
And then even like when they're on the ferry, like you're really far apart, and like you could see them kind of hanging out. And like, I don't know, like the way they frame everything is really cool, because it's like no matter how close, and then I think you made a point about it too, like the second time they hang out, like mm-hmm. he's trying to take a picture and she's kind of like,
she
doesn't really want to be that close in the picture. You're like, back it up more or something like that.
Not only that, when they first meet up again in New York and Nora takes him to places she would go on dates with Arthur.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Not only that, in the background, we only see couples. Like, there's only couples in the background. And this is another way which I think the movie makes you feel like, oh, like they're gonna cack, bro. They're about to cheat, you know.
They're making a villain. They're making a villain.
But you know what? Haesung is an honorable person.
Yeah,
honestly,
Haesung is such a sweetheart. I think.
I don't know, man. I don't know. You mean to tell me he flew all the way from fucking Korea just to fucking stood up?
Isn't he a lawyer?
He's an engineer.
He got shmoney. He got shmoney.
Well, that's not enough to get a wife, he said.
Damn.
In Korea.
See, he said that, but I think that's just an excuse.
Fucking lying, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Because Nora asks him, he's like, why haven't you gotten married to your girlfriend yet? He says because he doesn't make enough money, but I disagree.
That's crazy,
I think,
dude.
They not only broke up, but they also didn't get married because Hay still had hope that he could work it out with Nora.
Like, bro, she got married a while ago, bro. Like,
have you seen that chiseled chin, brother?
Dude, that face. Haesung, bro. Haesung's
my god,
dude.
My god.
Bro could have had like 10 bitches on him.
On God,
but
dude.
He was like, nah, let me try to get at my friend.
God played him the simp card.
Literally, bro. He played the simp card. Yeah, let me try to fuck up their marriage and let me try to get back with this chick.
Do you think when he was in the Uber, he was listening, like, put AirPods on?
And he's like, put on Past Lives.
Yeah. And he's just like, he's like listening to Bright Eyes and all that stuff.
Fucking Deftones.
Yeah, and I think one of the other really cool things that this movie does.
Yeah, that one.
I think it does make good references to like other like cultural iconic symbols. So the sculpture that they first like went on a date with
when they're kids.
Yeah, when they're kids, the sculpture is. Let me see. Well, once I go back to that, they
two
also
dragons kissing.
They also mentioned what the fuck. they also mentioned the movie Eternal Spotless of
the
Sunshine.
Dude, I know.
Line.
Wasn't the
greatest
mom?
Movie ever.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and then he watches it, and I was like, bro,
you know what?
That's not the movie you recommend to someone you're trying to rekindle with.
Not only, but that's also another movie about a very rough breakup. You know. Also, the sculpture in which they first go on a date is called A New Glaze by Lee Ho. And I think it's also like to symbolize the new glaze that they have for each other. You know, they finally see each other as like a romantic love, you know.
Romanticized. Extra spicy.
Well, and also like when they say their final goodbye in Korea, where we see them like split into different paths. The framing in that movie is so good.
Yeah,
we see Hay take a left and stay in Korea where he's going to live his life. And we see Nora going up the stairs where she's going to...
I love that. That frame is just amazing. I mean, obviously, it doesn't like, you know, he goes straightforward, meaning like he's just going to be staying in the same consistent form.
Yeah, you know.
You know, she's rising up to different changes.
It's kind of like a... It's like in Parasite, you know, that scene where like when they're going up and down, you see like everything.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of when I saw that too.
Yeah. And that green door, that's just us right there just talking about their life. we're actually in behind that green door in the middle.
What I thought was, and this is kind of stupid, but like when Nora's walking back, she walks by a laundromat. And I just thought like of everything everywhere. And I was like, all right, 824, I see you trying to throw some liminal messages.
Slick-ass motherfuckers, all right.
No, and you know what? I think it's also really cool how in the final scene, when Nora goes back with Arthur, they go back to the apartment back upstairs. You know, kind of bringing back that framing again where they're like leaving their separate paths. and Nora's going back up, and Hayes like staying in the middle. All
right, past lives, but Mexican. Like, you know how they would meet? They would be meeting in a fucking like the bakery. Getting a bag of bolillos.
Yeah, the tortilleria.
Some conchitas.
You know what would have made this movie worse? Because obviously, like Beto says, they're not trying to over-romanticize anything. Mm-hmm. The way that they would have made this movie worse is if at the end of the movie, instead of Hayes
saying
bye. She
gets in with the Uber.
No, if he said, you know, in another life, I would have just loved to do laundry and taxes.
Oh. And then
they kiss, and then Arthur watches, and then it's over, and then the movie
ends. And then Arthur's song, like,
"Last life." Start playing in the background.
I want you there, like you never.
I wanted to bring something up, and I think Chris mentioned it, like the conversation that they're having when they're in bed.
I didn't say that.
No, you mentioned the scene.
I never did, though.
Yes, you did.
You didn't mention shit. You're just making these
accusations.
Gaslight him, everyone.
Like, but it's basically when he's saying, like, you know, oh,
yeah, basically
your story.
So he basically never
your
said
your story's crazy, and like you're just living here in this apartment with me, and I'm just a writer. But I think the importance, and this is what I think sticks out too, it's like Arthur shows like the banality of relationships, but something that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna always end up with your childhood sweetheart. Like, you're never gonna have this glamorous lifestyle. It's like you make your relationship what you want it to be, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think it's all about, like...
I blame...
Tell that to Dean.
Social media.
I blame our parents.
Tell that to Dean.
Our parents and, like, older generation.
Tell him that.
Makes it seem that we're going to have, like, this... Mm-hmm. We're going to have, like, this fucking fairy tale of a fucking, like...
Relationship.
Yeah. You know, you got to get with someone that... you've known, and you know they're gonna be like, it's like, dude, love is like very different. Like, you know, it'll fucking happen however it will fucking happen.
Yeah.
You know? And you just gotta pray that you fucking, well, not pray, but you just gotta hope that it fucking works out.
Yeah. And I think one of the things this movie does really well is like kind of acknowledging that we are watching this movie from an outside perspective. And I think it sets it up really well in the beginning when the very first scene is basically someone like eavesdropping or kind of just like looking from the outside into the relationship and trying to guess if they're brothers or fucking
all friends.
Yeah, friends.
Or like a tour guide.
Exactly. So that kind of like already puts us in that mindset that we're looking at this from the outside in. And this continues on when Arthur is, like you mentioned, Milo, looking from the outside in, like, oh, like, dude, you guys are perfect for each other, you know? Like, your high school or, like, middle school sweethearts, your love story is way better than ours. We just got married for convenience. But, what I think makes this movie better is that ultimately the decision is up to Nora. And ultimately, she makes the decision that is best for her and not necessarily best for the story. Which makes this movie very grounded. And I think it tells a more realistic and, in a way, a more romantic version of the story. Because she chose the person that was perfect for her, not the person that was, quote unquote, who she was supposed to be.
Right. And I think that's the one way that Chris can... We'll give you this win, where it's similar to Blue Valentine. No. That... they are both very realistic stories and things that happen.
Yeah.
I know
that's
that.
That's the only thing you're getting.
No. No, that and Blue Valentine's better.
No.
I was thinking the same thing.
But it's like, these are like two of the most realistic movies in terms of romantic movies or melodramatic movies. You
have you seen Shrek?
you know what's his name? Hey, Sun should have just pulled up with a bad bitch, bro. Should have pulled up with a bad bitch. Fucking roll up in a fucking Mercedes. Well, and then just look around the apartment like, oh, this.
Well, it's funny, too, because, like, Beto noted, too, that when Nora and Arthur went to Korea, she reached out to him.
Yeah.
And he ignored her. And at that time, he was with his girlfriend, too.
Yeah.
So he could have had a bad bitch then, and he didn't want to flex on her.
Guess who's flexing on it? Him. Arthur. That's right.
Well,
that's right.
I think
that's why I took your bitch.
I think when they show us that, it really tells that Hay only came to New York to see Nora. It's like when he had a girlfriend, he just ignored the fuck out of her. But now that he's single, he makes a fucking 13-hour flight to go, quote unquote, on vacation to New York.
Dude, 13 hours? I would have had not even all hours. I would have had 30 minutes and be like, yeah, nah, I shouldn't do this.
Okay.
You know,
like get me off this fucking plane.
Yeah, get me up, bro. I'm jumping off this bitch real quick.
Be fucking for real, bro.
She's fucking married, bro. Why are you going?
So you guys know when they first start Skyping, obviously he like reached out about her on her dad's like Facebook or something, and she reached out.
It's like his movie page.
So who do you think is more who is more at fault for the cause of them not really being with each other or like having to go on a break? Because like obviously they weren't gonna be able to see each other.
Yeah.
And obviously Haesung was looking for her, but she reached out to him when she didn't have to.
Yeah.
And when she proposed a break, she made it about herself.
Yeah.
She was like, I want to.
Like, she feels like she keeps like stopping her life for him.
Like she said, like, I was up all night looking for flights to Seoul.
Yeah, you know.
Instead of like working on my
eyes.
No, actually, like I didn't notice until after, but like once they stop talking and they pan away, it is literally morning in the city. Like she was literally up all night. Cause even when
My bad.
When he calls her, she's like, "Why are you still awake?" Mm-hmm. And then you don't realize the gravity of the time it is until they like pan out to the screen outside.
I think this is like the really tragic thing about this movie. I don't think it was anyone's fault. I think even though they both really wanted to work out because of like their current lives,
Past life?
No. The sequel is current life.
Because the current lives and lifestyles, it just couldn't work. Because like we said, Nora is like the Nora that Hay fell in love with is someone that leaves. So I don't think we can blame her for fucking stop talking to Hay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm taking the bitch way out. It was no one's fault.
And I just want to bring on for our special guest, we have Chris's childhood sweetheart from kindergarten. Can you please come out?
Yeah, well, no, what's up, guys?
Whoa!
I mean, do you guys have anything else to add before we kind of sign off?
I feel like this movie was good. I just think I guess if you really, really wanted like hit it where it feels, you have to, I guess, have that type of relationship that you had.
Yeah.
At a young age to really, really make you cry. I don't know what the fuck these TikTokers were saying.
Yeah, I didn't.
This movie was beautiful in form of, you know, probably we never really said our byes correctly.
Yeah.
But I'm like, dude, you guys are fucking kids. Like, you're trying to like match up the same energy like adults have.
How
like,
fucked
later
up
on.
Is that though? Like, I get the mom was like, oh, I want her to have a good memory. And they're like, oh, we're moving to Canada though.
Yeah, you know what? The mom is the fucking villain for this. Fuck that. The mom's just like, I just wanted to see if they would fucking kiss or something, you know, before they leave. And then it's like, what the fuck? Like,
And he doesn't even find out until like the next day where he overhears it, and then they just walk silently the way home.
Like what the fuck? Like, damn. I would have just said like, oh, let's just take you to a fucking music park and then like deuces. All right.
And then before we do wrap this thing up, I do wanna ask you guys, do you guys think that Hay and Nora got together in their next life?
Come on. What kind of question is that?
That's 100%.
You want fan service, Beto?
Let's say they didn't move. And they you think, dude, she would 100% would have been married with him.
Yeah, I think so. 100%, if she had never moved,
bro.
You think so?
Oh, 100%.
I think, see, the thing is, in my heart, I want them to
I
be together so bad.
I still love you.
In my heart, I want them to be together so bad. But I think even when Hay asked Nora this question, Nora gives such a vague answer. I think
when they're in the bar?
No, when they're like saying their goodbyes.
Oh.
Hayes basically saying like, oh, what if this right here is our past life? Do you think in our future life we will be something else? And Nora says some shit like, I don't know, bro. What the fuck?
I mean, she's not wrong, though.
She's like, what the fuck? What do you want me to say,
she's like,
bro?
She's like, I don't even believe what I said.
Yeah.
I just was trying to hook up with Arthur.
So I think the movie does that very smart choice to even us as an audience, or me as an audience, was like, maybe the next life, bro. Maybe the next life.
Where's past lives too?
Yeah.
Where's past lives too?
How about past life?
Future
how about,
life, hey, bro. Hey, how about you focus on this life right now, bro?
But even when I was asking myself that question, it was like, maybe in the next life, Nora's like, nah. Not even in the next life, bro.
Yeah, she was just like, how about nah? How about you focus right now on what the fuck's going on with that bullshit-ass question?
Yeah.
I mean, I like it. You know, like, Hayes being like this fucking, like, you know.
He's too much of an idealist, I think.
Yeah,
she
like
says.
An idealist, you know, like, you know, romanticizing these moments. And then Nora's like, peace sign symbol, like, yo, deuces, you know?
Peace sign symbol.
Shit, dog, I hate that I fucked you up that bad, but, you know, I wasn't even trying to do anything with you, so I don't know why you're coming
home. Trying to backtrack?
You know, I like that she, you know, she brought him over. Like, I mean, she had every right to be like, oh, like, you know, she could have involved her husband more. She could have been like, oh, I'm with someone. I'm with, you know. Yeah. Arthur, we're gonna do these things. We're
so
gonna
this
do,
is not the end, like, guys. We're going. We're still going.
I know, but the thing is, like, she could have been in a more, like, I guess like bitchy way of like saying like,
yeah,
I'm married.
Don't come, bro.
Yeah, like, don't come over here. Like, dude, like, I'm busy.
And it's crazy because when they meet again and they're in like that subway scene, I feel like we see chemistry. Like, I'm like, dude, either about to kiss right now, bro.
Look, this is what I wanted to say when you guys were talking right now, mm-hmm. is it's the idea, like, after, you know, she left, right?
Yeah.
You know, she had her whole life. And then when they never really have that connection, yeah, they rekindle online, but it wasn't like it, like, rekindled. Like, they weren't there. They were just, you know, miles away through Skype.
Yeah.
And the idea is, I felt like when he finally came,
mm-hmm.
she was like, oh, wow, like, he's here. Yeah. And it's kind of like all those emotions you had for someone. And it's like, she's human. Let's be real. Like, it's very, like, especially when you like someone, it's very hard to separate yourself from like, you know, oh, I love this person, but at the same time, I'm in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
And then so it just shows that, like, not only she's human and she's conflicted how she feels, and this is like what she had for him, but she can't because, you know, certain circumstances.
Okay. Were you finished? Sorry.
I had
another interpretation of the quote-unquote goodbye scene.
Yeah, okay.
Because earlier when he's saying bye to Arthur, he's like, come visit me in Korea, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he's not necessarily saying goodbye, but maybe he's saying goodbye for his hopes of being with her.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify. But yeah, so... he's still going to simp over her. Come on. It's fucking Haesung, bro.
I mean, we'll find out Past Life 2 coming out in 2026.
Past Life 2, here's the plot. Arthur dies of cancer.
Oh, no, not like that.
That's the only way you can do it because everyone loves Arthur.
No, he dies
like a tragic death.
No, he becomes an alcoholic and you know, abusive. No, he becomes Dean.
No.
Then it gives you a reason to hate him.
I want
to
love Arthur.
He can't live with the fact that his wife... cucked him in a friendly way on that New York trip.
He dies of cancer, very tragic, and then Nora goes and breaks up Hayes' marriage in Korea.
So then she becomes a villain.
No, because
it's acceptable to not like Nora, but we have to like Arthur.
No, because Hayes' new girlfriend's actually a bitch.
Oh.
That's what it is.
I can't say that word last fucking episode, but then I hear you guys throwing it out.
Hey.
All right, buckos.
First of all, you were using it as
for
a noun.
For everyone.
We're using it as an adjective.
Well, how am I supposed to describe women?
No, there you are. Our only woman listener is out of the question now.
I'm sorry. It was a joke.
All right, so then, Chris, do you know what movie we're doing next?
Yes, because you want to make fun of me about it.
Nah, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Wait, is that what you said earlier?
What is the movie?
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
You really want to talk about that?
Not really.
Pick something you want.
I don't. It's either Shrek or this.
All right.
Well, we're Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind next week, boys.
We're setting up
it's
a vote.
It's your call, Chris.
We're setting up a vote.
Just do a vote. I don't care.
I don't care either.
Let's post it on IG.
If you don't care, then why can't you do a vote?
Because you should just know.
I don't. Well, I don't. What are you acting like, Dean? Now, get out of here, dude!
I'm gaslighting you.
We'll set up the vote. We'll set up the vote.
What movie are we doing? Wait a minute.
Either Shrek or the Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're gonna set up a vote on IG. So
we're gonna get like 6 votes.
Part two
gonna be tied.
No, we're gonna get 6 votes, but 4 of us are gonna. Us 4, we're gonna vote for the other 2.
Just imagine this poll, bro. Which movie would we talk about next?
Shrek?
Eternal Spotless of the Show.
Eternal, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Or Shrek.
Somebody once told me the world.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. My name is Beto.
And I'm Chris.
This is your boy, Brian.
And this is Milo. And we're signing off. Thank you so much for joining.
Woo!
Bye! Woo!
Arthur's a bitch.